Good morning. How are you? Hallelujah. Glad to see each and every one of you. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord together. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We'll finish chapter 2 today. This is our ninth message out of these two chapters in this great book that Paul is, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, has written to us. I think it's very timely, the book of Colossians. I think it's a book that you and I need to meditate on, especially as we see so many things unfolding before our eyes. Amen. It's written for right now, and it'll bless you. It'll help you so much. As he's closing out this second chapter, I want you to hold this in your mind as we look at this. He's dealing with things that had worked into the church. We had the Gnostics that had worked their way into the church, and we see that very thing today. Wanting to spread false doctrine, wanting to spread things that would hurt and hinder you and I walk with the Lord, our intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was dealing with the Greeks. You know, the Gnostics, they didn't believe anything, but they wanted to teach everything. The Greeks, they had a hunger for all knowledge, but they didn't know how to apply it, and they didn't know where it come from, and they didn't care. Remember, Paul went to them, and he said, you know, you even like to serve the unknown God. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you who the unknown God is. Remember in Acts, what is it, 17 or something? And then he had the Judaizers. See, you and I were dealing with the very same thing today. God's word is so timely. It's so important. I want you to put your hand over your heart and raise your other hand to heaven. And I want you to say this: I will please the Father by listening to the Son, by His Holy Spirit. People pleasing is poisonous. I will please only the one who loved me enough to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you are in a battle right now because you've got people pulling on you, trying to make decisions for you. And you know, they may be doing it out of love. Remember, Peter told Jesus, he said, you're not going to go to the cross and die. He didn't do that because he was mean or evil. He done that because he loved Jesus and he didn't understand. Remember in Matthew 16? And so a lot of people may be trying to influence you and get you to do something out of human love, out of natural love. But you and I, we got to be led by the Spirit. Amen. All right. I know we made it down to verse 16, but let's reread verse 15 because that makes us understand how we can have victory over verses 16 through 23. Amen. If you're there, say amen. All right. Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, having victory through his cross. So say, I've got the victory through the cross of Jesus. Amen. So he says then, as he changes the thought here to help us to understand what we got the victory over in part, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let him rob you of your prize of salvation or the benefit of fellowship with the Lord. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly, his carnal mind. Verse 19, and not holding the head, capital H, not holding Jesus, from which all the body by the joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Like, what is he talking about? Verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. Verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, and not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here once again. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Larry, for your prayer. I want you and I just to look at some things this morning. I think that is going to encourage you and help you so much, because if you and I live our life as in the mentality that we got to please those around us, we'll never be able to fully please the Lord. Amen. And so here, this is what Paul is doing. He's bringing it back to the revelation of the church that they let some things happen in their life, and he wanted to encourage them. And so I believe as you and I, we've been praising God. Are y'all praising God for the year of release still, right? And you, every time you think about those names that's back there on the board, you just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Every time I walk by there by myself, I touch those names and I just praise God, because this is the year. They're coming out. Amen. In Jesus' name. You say, well, what if they don't? No, they are. They are. Amen. There ain't no question about it. Just as God saved you and I because we put our faith in Him, He's going to release them because we put our faith in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at this. Look what he said in verse 16. He said, let no man therefore judge you. Let no person judge you. Now, this word judge, it's a Greek word, krino, and it goes deeper than what you and I would just read on the top layer in English. It means don't let no person condemn you after they have brought their conviction. In other words, it says they've convicted you. They put a label on you, and then they've sentenced you to what they think that you are to serve. When it happens all the time. Well, they can't be up at the altar worshiping God. Look how they're dressed. Or look what they were watching. I heard them talking about this TV show, or I heard about where they went. I heard what they said, all of these things. They put a limit on what somebody can do or can't do because they're looking at the external. They're not looking at the heart. You and I, we battle things. Come on, we are a spirit being. We have a soul, but we're in a flesh body. And until we get the Word of God flowing in us, until we yield to what the Word says, we're going to have certain battles. But guess what? We're putting off those battles because the cross is what gives us the victory. Amen? So he said, let no man. So don't you don't live your life according to how somebody else says that you are to live it. Don't let them put you in a box. Don't let them say, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can be a Christian if you do this, but you can't be a Christian if you do that. I think the one who is Christ, he knows what it takes to be a Christian. Amen. So let's look at that. Hold your place right here and we'll come back. Go to John 3:17 and 18. Look where this same Greek word krino is used. John chapter 3, everybody knows verse 16, but look at verse 17. This is what the Word of God says. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn. There's that word, krino, to judge. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn, to judge, to convict and condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So you and I, whether we understand it or not, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we start going to the house of God, when we start having a living testimony that we are Christians, we represent Jesus Christ. We present an image to Christ. I remember when I first got saved, the way that I saw Jesus was through certain elders in the church. And I saw what they did do, what they didn't do. And you say, well, you shouldn't have done that. I'm a baby Christian. I don't know. I don't know anything about this Bible yet. I'm just born again. And so I'm looking and I'm learning from those around me. And so I want you to know that the devil understands that. And so he wants to use people to keep you in a box. He wants to put you in a place, in a position where they're, well, I can do this, but I can't do that. No, you and I, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. And we've got to have that truth with the grace. And we'll, Lord willing, we'll talk about that tonight. Please be sure and come back tonight because the Spirit of God wants to help us so much, because we're seeing so much confusion brought into the church. And it's because people have got lopsided on grace and they've left off truth. We've got to have both. We've got to have the grace of God, but we've got to have the truth of God to be able to live in that grace. Amen. But we'll talk about that tonight. But I want you to think about this. He said, God said, Jesus doesn't condemn people. Jesus doesn't judge people. So why do I want to try to judge people? It's not my job. I've got a full-time job looking at my own life, listening to the Spirit of God, and not being led astray by some doctrine of the devil, some work of tradition of man. I don't want to live by that. I want to live in the freedom and the glory that the Lord has for me, don't you? Now look at verse 18. He that believeth on him, that believes on Jesus, say that's me, is not condemned, is not judged. Come on, is your faith this morning in Jesus? There's been a mite there as long as I've had a Bible. Huh? No, they could be if they'll believe. They might be saved if they believe. But if they don't believe, I mean, it's available to. It's just like when we come in this building this morning, electricity was available to us, but it wasn't there till I turned on the light, till I turned on the air conditioner. You know what I mean? Amen. You welcome. Hallelujah. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So you and I, we've got to walk in that liberty, that freedom. Don't let somebody tell you what you can do or can't do. Now, we're not talking about in the confines of somebody who is led by the Lord and they're your mentor, or God has placed them in your life to help them, help you in certain situations. We're talking about in the deal of just completely judging your life and trying to base your life on doctrines of devils or tradition of men, because that's not the way you and I are to live. Jesus come that we not only have life, but we have it more abundantly. So if anything is coming against you that is taking away the abundant life that Jesus died to give you, what do? You say, uh-uh. I'm not condemned, so I'm not going to let you condemn me. And when they start talking about certain verses, you just lead them to John 7:24, and you say you're supposed to judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment's by the Holy Spirit, amen? It's not looking at the external, it's looking at the internal. So he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned, believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if Jesus in judging situations, and if Jesus took my judgment, then why do I want to waste time on what somebody else might say about me? What matters is what God says about you. God says that you were worthy of his Son. He says that you have been forgiven. If you've believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're forgiven. Amen. So let's go back and let's look at some things, how they were bringing judgment. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Now look at verse 16 again. He said, let no man therefore judge you. Now notice what he does here. This is amazing how Paul brings this out. In meat or in drink, or in respect of holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath days. Now think about this. Paul, this is amazing how the Holy Spirit moves on him, because if you take and you look at each one of these that he lists here, he goes, don't let anybody judge you in your daily walk, in your weekly walk, in your monthly walk, or in your yearly walk. Because see, every one of these, you eat and drink every day. You have a Sabbath, come on, weekly then, but you and I, Jesus is our Sabbath today. We have him every day. We rest in Jesus. But in all of these feast days and the new moons, that's monthly. And then these feast days, they're yearly. So he's saying, Be ready, because every day of your life, somebody's going to judge what you do or what you say. But you come back and you say, wait a minute. The Word of God said in John 3:18, I'm not condemned. I'm not judged. And so what happens immediately when you come in agreement with the Word of God, that weight that was on your back, it slides off your back, and you're able to lift up your head and lift up your hands, and you're able to worship the Lord. Amen. See, the devil doesn't want you to see the truth. He doesn't want you to have victory. He doesn't want you to have freedom. He wants to keep you in a place where you're always striving. Oh, maybe someday I'll please God. Maybe someday I'll get to this elevation. I'll get to this position. I'll get to this place of freedom. No, you've got all of those things right now. Amen. They're yours. They're bought and paid for. You're a child of the King. So we got to live like that. All right, so he said, don't let from day to day, from year to year, no judgment. No judgment. Just live your life with Jesus. So that's what this is all. It's not complicated. It's not about, thank God for church, but it's not about making it from church time to church time. It's about Jesus is with me. He lives inside of me. He talks to me continually. Amen. He's with me. If you'll listen, if I listen, He's talking. He's speaking. He's loving on us. He's encouraging us. Amen. Now notice what he said in verse 17. He said all of those things that he just listed before that we just talked about, they're just a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So in other words, everything that they had to do under the law in the Old Testament, it was just a type and a shadow to point to Jesus. But now you and I, we're not working in the type and the shadow. We're in the body. We're in Christ. Come on, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit literally took your spirit and baptized it, immersed you into the body of Jesus. This is an amazing statement. That means Jesus is in front of you. He's behind you. He's to the left of you. He's to the right of you. And as long as you and I stay in Him where we're supposed to be, we're hid from the enemy. The only time I get trouble is when I step out of Jesus and I step into myself. All right. So he said, all those things are a shadow. So when somebody starts trying to tell you, well, you need to do this or you need to do that, don't get mad at them. Don't even acknowledge it in the natural. Just say, Lord, show them your grace. The grace that saved me, the grace that's empowering me to have abundant life. Would you bring it a revelation to them? See, all of a sudden what you've done, if the devil couldn't get you to accept their judgment, then he would get you to judge them. And see what happens. The Bible out of the mouth of Jesus, the way that I judge is the way I'm going to be judged. See, the devil's trying to win one way or the other. He's playing both sides of the coin. But you and I, by the Spirit of God, we know better. Come on, amen? So we don't yield to that. We don't trust in that. All right. Now let's look at this starting in verse 18. He said, let no man, let no person beguile you. Don't let them rob you of your prize, your reward, in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So you and I have got to be in the place and the position to realize that the devil, he wants you and I to be in a place where we're trusting in what we feel, what we see, because, you know, Jesus said, let no man deceive you as well in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. But that man starts with me. I don't want to deceive myself. You know, he said, take heed. In other words, bleepos, to see, to be able to see and discern and understand some things. So I want to be in that place where I recognize that the devil is going to always have people to use in my life, in your life, to try to beguile us, to try to rob us of a reward. Now, if he can't keep you and I from being saved, from going to heaven, he can make us go through hell here on earth while we're waiting for heaven. And so we don't want that. Amen. Part of our reward is that we bring heaven to earth and we live that every day by the grace of God, by the word of God, giving us a truth to stand by, an understanding to walk in, and an anointing to bring all the promises to God into your heart and into my heart. Amen. But he said, take note. He said, they will try to beguile you. They want to rob you of what God would have for you. And so we got to be in the place and the position where you and I stand strong in the Word of God and we don't let that happen. Amen. Turn with me to Romans 14 and let's look at some things. Here's one way that they may try to rob you. I just want to hit some high points. You, in your home study time, you need to cover this whole 14th chapter. See, I needed this 14th chapter 25 years ago when I'd got involved in listening to a false teaching. And if I'd had this chapter 25 years ago, it saved me a lot of heartache. But for some reason, you know, I missed this chapter. But look what it says starting in verse 5. Romans 14, 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We're talking about judgment, and we're talking about how people can beguile you. Because, in other words, they, you know, I can remember when Don and I first got saved and started going to church, we went to church on Sunday morning. And we went to church on Wednesday night because we loved Bible study, but didn't go on Sunday night because we had a routine that we on Sunday we get everything ready for after church for work week, and so it took a long time for us to see how important it was to be in the house of the Lord, but the Lord took care of that. The more that people tried to beat it into our head that we were supposed to be there, the more I said, no, thank you. So you can't make somebody do something because it's just natural for the flesh to what? To rise up and to rebel. What should have been done and what needs to be done in situations and circumstances, we don't push people by the flesh, but we just praise God in the Spirit. Let God do what only He can do. Amen. But you've got to settle in your heart. What is God wanting me to do in this season of my life? How's He wanting me to study the Bible? How's He wanting me to pray? How's He wanting me to attend corporate worship? What's He wanting me to do? And then you settle it in your mind after the Holy Spirit has settled it in your spirit. See, your mind is a part of your soul. And the Bible says that you and I, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our soul, the renewing of our mind. And so I need to know what the truth is. And the only way that you can keep from being beguiled is you know what God wants you to do. Come on now. This is important this morning. I may not be doing a very good job, but I'm doing the best I can. I want you to walk and to live in the liberty where there's nothing holding you back, where you have what God would have you to have every day of your life. Look what it says in verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Verse 8. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore we live, whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So it's not about my decision. I make wrong decisions carnally, amen? But I need to be in the place where I let the Lord make my decision. There's times and seasons where you're going to be asked to do things, and there are going to be people that may not understand. But as long as you've got it settled in your spirit, and then it's become settled in your mind that that's the will of God, you hold on to it. Don't let anything sway you. Don't let anything move you. And then when you're completed with that, God will talk to you. He'll give you the next step. So many times if we're not careful, we hear from the Lord and then we don't obey what we heard. And then we're asking Him to talk to us. He's not going to talk to us until we come back to obedience where we left Him. Amen. All right. So you can read this whole chapter and you can look. But look at verse 13. I want us to make sure we get that. Let us not therefore judge, there you go, one another anymore. No more. Say it ends today. Come on, the grace of God will make it possible. Amen. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So I need to be in the place. I want you. Here's what I've been praying in the Spirit. I've been seeing each one of you, and I've been seeing you as different levels, different sizes of bulldozers. And you know, my dad, when for doing a little finishing work, he had a little International TD-8, and you can get around houses, you can get in tight places, and you can do work that you can't do. But then, when when they redone Bibblers in 94, they had that big D8 there, and they had that ripper on the back, and they could rip out the biggest pieces of shell you ever saw because it had the power. Also burnt 200 gallons worth of diesel fuel a day, but it could do what needed to be done. But that's what I'm, when I'm praying for you, that's what I'm praying, that you get a revelation of what you need to use to push people, push things that would cause people to stumble out of their way. I want you to get it in your spirit that you're here to make the path straight. Isaiah 35 talks about that when Jesus comes, there's going to be a straight path. But guess what? John the Baptist's role, his job, was to make the path straight. And so you and I got to be in that place, in that position where we say, I'm going to take stumbling blocks out of my brothers and sisters' way. I'm not going to put them there. Amen? All right, go back to Colossians. Now, notice here, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels and intruding of those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You got to know, I've got to know, that especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching, there's an increase of spiritual activity. The Holy Spirit is being poured out at a greater level than ever before. There's all sorts of angels. There's God's heavenly host and there's the devil's hell host. Amen. And so there's a lot of spiritual activity. You can feel it. That's why sometimes you go to under one portal and everything feels bound up. Everything feels negative. Everything feels discouraged. And you can just go a little ways further and there's the Spirit of the Lord. There's the open door of Jesus because somebody's brought it there. Somebody's prayed it there. Somebody's presented it there. And there's differences. So what you've got to be aware of, what I've got to be aware of, that in all of this demonic activity and all of this angelic activity, even of the Lord, we've got to be able to discern what's what, what's happening here. Because remember, the devil was so subtle how he worked Adam and Eve. Well, he's not changed. And so he's going to work you and I. And we've got to be in that place, in that position where we say, nothing is going to beguile me. Nothing's going to rob me of my prize of salvation, but my prize of walking with the Savior day by day. Amen. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know these verses. We've ministered on them many times. But look what Paul said starting in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You and I, we are the bride of Christ, and he is our husband. And so you and I have got to be in the place and the position where we make sure that all of our loyalty, all of our heart, all of our desires, our plans, our direction, everything about our life is centered around him and is sourced from him. He wants to be your source. Amen. But Paul says, know this, verse 3. He said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled. Now, what did Paul say? Lest any man beguile you. Different Greek word. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. So Paul here, he's giving this warning to the church at Corinth. It's a warning to us. And that warning is that one of the ways that the devil is going to beguile us is he's going to visit you. And he's not going to always visit you in a negative way. See, when a Holy Spirit starts moving and the church starts going in the direction of the Lord and there's unity and there's liberty and there's freedom to be able to follow the Lord, the devil's going to come and he's going to disguise himself. And he's going to try to get involved in what's going on. And because why? Because anywhere Jesus is being exalted and glorified, the devil is jealous. The devil wants the attention on him. That's why he fell. Pride cometh before a fall. That's why he took a third of God's angels with him, because of that pride that was rose up in him. Now, drop down to verse 13. Paul says, for such are false apostles. Come on, there's going to be, this is pseudo apostelos. This is people who are sent, but they're sent by the devil. For they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming, disguising themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no more, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, John 9 and 5, I am the light of the world. And so here, see, Satan has no light in himself. He had, if you look at his description in Ezekiel 28, he has all the stones and the glory that God created in those stones. That's his wardrobe. That's his outer appearance. And every one of them is to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. See, when he walked on the throne of God, the Bible says he walked on the altar of fire. He walked right beside the mercy seat. And what he was to do was to take the reflection of Jesus and to reflect it as he led praise and worship in heaven, reflect it to the whole universe. But all of a sudden, he wanted it to what? To be about him. And when it turned on him, the Bible says that iniquity was found in his heart. So he's going to come to you. He's not going to come to you and say, hey, why don't you go stab your brother or your sister with a literal knife? He's going to come to you with words to try to get you to cut them with your tongue, to cut them with your actions, all of these things. He knows how to work on this flesh. Come on, he studied this flesh for 6,000 years. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil has ministers. I heard one on TV last night. Night before last, Dawn and I did. We were amazed. I won't mention the name. This you can easily find it yourself. This lady, she said, I love it that I'm a lesbian. And I've been called by God to be a pastor. And I've been called by God and I'm elected into the state senate. And she went on all of her pedigree of what she was doing. And she honestly believes this. You can look into her eyes and all you see is dead. But she believes everything that she said. Because why? There was a minister that told her, it's okay. You can come to God in your sin and you can stay in your sin. Is that true? My heart breaks for her. She needs prayer. She needs help. Because she's leading a whole generation of people astray. He said, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, disguised, transfigured as ministers of righteousness. You know, you've got to see that. This word disguised and transfigured, it's something that is not that you see with your flesh eyes. The devil has an anointing on them that takes a person's spiritual understanding and twists it. And when they look at that person, instead of them seeing and hearing the lies and the deception and the sin, they see them as that angel of light. And they swallow what they say, hook, line, and sinker. Paul said, take heed that no man, don't let them rob you of your reward. The church has got to stand strong. Amen. We've got to be what God would have us to be. He said, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, we know what that's going to be. All right, I got to hurry. Go back to Colossians. I want you, in other words, I said all that to say this, and we won't take time to read it. But notice what he said. He said that they're going to be talking about things they've not seen in the last part of verse 18, vainly puffed up in their flesh mind. Now, I want you to hold that in your heart, and I want you to go, and we won't go there this morning, but I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want you to read the first four verses. And I want you to look at a man who went and saw things that he could not even, it wasn't even lawful for him to speak of, the Apostle Paul. And I want you to look at his attitude versus the attitudes that we have people who stand in front of pulpits today and talk about, I went to heaven and I done this. I went to heaven and I done that. I done this and I done that. And look at the example of the Bible. What they're telling you, is it edifying you? Is it making you free? Is it pointing to Jesus or is it pointing to them? Paul said, they will what? They will beguile you. They will rob you of your prize and they'll get you in a place. But also, he said, Don't get into this voluntary humanity. You know, you've got so many people. Hey, I've been on a 19-day fast. Well, you should have kept it to you between you and the Lord. Because now you don't have your reward. See, people want to move you because they want you to think more of them than what they are. That's another way. Okay, I don't have time. But anyway, drop on down to verse 19. Here's what it causes. And not holding the head. Everything that the devil does is to get you and I off of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And the church, Ephesians 1 tells us, is his body. So we're the body of Christ. We're the church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not. You have the victory. I have the victory. But we've got to stay in the one who called us into his body, called us into the church, not holding the head. So the devil's going to bring words that will try to get you to lay down the words of Jesus and take up a word that is very religious. It sounds good. Oh, here at this church, we love everybody. We welcome everybody. We serve a God who is going to save everybody. What did our brother say? Who might be saved. If I don't change, I'm going to hell. If I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell. Amen. I've got to let Jesus take my sin. I've got to see that he put it on the cross and that when I call out, the blood of Jesus will wash me. Amen. I've got to behold the head. Jesus is the head. That means what happens if something happens to a person and they become brain dead? The brain loses connection to the body. The body doesn't do anything. What's the church doing today? Jesus told us to go. Are we going? He said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, lay hands on the sick. Are we doing those things? Come on. We need to behold the head. If we're not careful, we're in rebellion in little bitty things, and we think those little bitty things are not important. It's the little things that stop the big things from God. Notice what happens. Let's look at the positive side of this. If you and I, and we're holding the head. He said, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered. See, when you're looking at the head and I'm looking at the head, then it's not about anything that would judge me or anything that would judge you. We're looking at Jesus who took our judgment, and now there's no condemnation, there's no judgment. And we're looking at him, and you and I, we're bound together by ligaments of love. We're bound together by the muscles of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, he said that we would what? We would having nourishment ministered in our life. So, in other words, what I've got to do, I've got to come back and I've got to just say in the name of Jesus, every outside voice, stop right now. And I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Show me where you're wanting to bring nourishment in my life. Show me where I'm weak at in my life. And all of a sudden, then he'll bring something up inside of your spirit and you'll accept that, you will receive that, you will embrace that, you'll put it to practice. And he promised it would nourish you. Nourishment makes you strong. Nourishment makes you healthy. Nourishment enables you to go. And look what happens. And knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Can I tell you the reason why in certain areas in my life I'm not growing? Because the person that I need to be growing from, I've separated myself from. Look what he said. Having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. See, the person that I need the most in my life is the person that the devil tries to divide me from. I need every one of you. I need you desperately. I need you in your prayers. But most importantly, I need you to seek Jesus where we can all be on the same page and we can do what the Lord would have us to do. Amen. It's not going to get done unless we all do it together. Now notice this. I know I got to hurry, but look, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, say I'm a dead man. We're a walking dead man. Our flesh is dead, but our spirit's alive unto God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you've been crucified with Christ, yet not you live, but Christ, Galatians 2:20, Christ lives in you. What did he say? Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, he has a promise for you. He said, from the rudiments of the world, I don't have to serve the things of this world anymore. You don't have to serve the beggarly elements of this world. Isn't that exciting? Okay, real quick. Hold your place. Go to Romans chapter 6. I just want to spit it out there and you can receive it. You know this. But look what he says in Romans 6:6-7. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be made stronger. That the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Look at verse 7. Here's your promise. For he or she that is dead is freed from sin. Now what did we just read? If I'm dead with Christ, if I'm dead in Christ. Come on, that's you and I. Now, look what it says. Go to chapter 7. You need to read the first five verses, but I don't have time. Look at verse 6, Romans 7:6. But now, say right now, we are delivered from the law. Come on, the law brought revelation of sin, and sin brought death. But grace, what? It brings life. Amen? But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. Come on, we were held in that death, that state, that we should serve now in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I can serve God in spirit and in truth. You can serve God in spirit and in truth. So I'm not going to let anybody judge me. I'm going to serve God the way He wants me to. Legalism is lethal. Legalism is lethal. Take that home with you today, the Spirit of God. Legalism is lethal, but grace, come on, it's the gravy train of life. That's what God has for us. Let's close with Galatians chapter 4, and because we don't have time to look at the rest of this, but look at Galatians chapter 4. I want you to take this home with you because we got to grow up in this truth. Look at starting in verse 1. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that I err. Come on, say I'm an heir of God. Join heir with Jesus. Now this I say, that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. See, if you and I don't take in the word of God, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, when we hear the word of God spoke in truth with the love of God on it, it'll grow us up unto the head. So we're holding the head, like Paul said. But he said, then we can grow up. We're not a child. He said, but if you're a child, you're under, verse 2, but you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements, there's the word, the rudiments, these beggarly things that would hold us down, the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. What for? Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When you got to know who you are. I've got to know who I am. Amen. We got to be in that place, in that position where we behold the head, and we're not in a place where we're serving man. I'm not here to please man. You're not here to please man. This life is not about pleasing ourselves, but this life is about pleasing the one who loved us enough to die for us. Amen. So he said that if we would hear the truth and we'd grow up, that we wouldn't be childish. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. But then he goes through and he says, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. See, the devil wants you and I to argue about things that do not matter. So we need to put away all of those things, and we need to come into the place of unity. I may not see everything like you do. You may not see everything like I do. But guess what? We can work together and be productive. All right, so let's close with this thought. Here's exactly the way you and I were. I want you to think about this in a spiritual sense as I tell it to you. There was a lady. She lived her whole life here in Chicago, Illinois, in this apartment building. And she was, you know, up in her 80s, and she'd been in this one apartment for decades, and she had an evil landlord that had just grown more and more ill-tempered toward her down through the years. And when she got to where she couldn't work, she was having to depend on her little check, and she was struggling and all of these things. And this landlord, he'd come and he'd beat on her door, and he would demand payment. And he was very rude and arrogant toward her and all of these things. And she had begged and borrowed, and she had got into so much debt just trying to keep a place to live that she wasn't going to survive. But by God's grace, there was a person who come in there that was very well off, and they were retired, and they bought this building. And so they had plenty of money, and they bought this building, and they said, I'm going to make this building my ministry. And so he moved in to the manager's apartment in there, and he let the tenants know. He said, I'm going to work with you because I'm for you, and I'm going to help you. So he said, my door is always open, and what I have, you have. So it wasn't just a few days went by, and that lady, she was thinking about everything that this the owner of this building, this landlord, had said. And there was another knock on her door, and it was that former landlord, and he come there, and he was demanding money from the past. And she got all shook up and all worried and everything, but she remembered what this new landlord had told her. He said, I have took care of all of your debt. See, that's what Jesus has done for us. We were under the landlord of the devil. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Jesus paid it for me. He moved in with me, and I moved in with him. Come on. And his door is open. He said, everything that he owns, I own. The devil's going to come, and he's going to knock on your door, and he's going to talk about those old debts. Jesus don't know anything about them. They've all been took care of. So the debt of fear, the debt of disappointment, the debt of hurt, the debt of aggravation, the debt of division, the debt that ultimately wants to bring destruction in your life and my life, it's been took care of. So when he comes and knocks on your door, let your new landlord, let Jesus talk to him out of your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will give you the truth, and when the devil brings a lie to you, you can tell him, it is written. That's the only thing the devil understands. The Word of God scares him to death, literally, because out of the mouth of Jesus is going to come a two-edged sword, literally. It's done happen in the spiritual. Jesus said the devil was going to be turned from ashes from the inside out. In the eyes of God, it's already happened. But it's going to come to pass, and when it comes to pass, that word is going to completely eliminate and destroy every bit of the thing that the devil had tainted for you and I. And we're going to have all of eternity to live in a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, where the God the Father himself is going to reach down and touch your heart and wipe away every tear. Now the tear means not just something on your cheek, but the source that caused the water droplet on your cheek. Everything's going to be made brand new. And everything that would offend is going to be taken out of his kingdom. There will be not one thing that will offend you that will offend me. There's only going to be love and peace. Let's live like that today. It's ours. It's available. It's possible. Let's paint a picture of what God has for the lost. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness. I thank you, Father, that you are, through Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, our landlord. I ask you right now that everything that has been knocked on people's hearts, souls, and lives, on the heart of their life by that evil landlord, bringing up the past, trying to hold and hinder, trying to limit, let it be put under your feet this morning. Let us allow your Holy Spirit to speak a word that will bring down every lie, every work, every hindrance, every limitation for your glory. Lord, help us be in that place, in that position where we give all things to you. We'll be quick to praise you for it. No more having a performance mentality, but let us just walk and live in and by your grace, Father. We ask you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.